Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text from John chapter 5. When Jesus saw the man lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This is the text. No doubt you've heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves. Maybe you've even said it a time or two, God helps those who help themselves. Just so we're all on the same page, you should know that that's not in the Bible. No chapter, no verse, you won't find it. But that doesn't stop people from thinking that it's in there. And sadly, I think that's true not only of that saying, but of others as well. We'll take as gospel truth anything that's catchy or remotely religious. God helps those who help themselves also makes sense when you look at it from a certain angle. That angle is usually when we're at our wits' end over what someone else is doing or not doing. When they complain to us about their life, we say, "Well, you know, God helps those." It almost makes sense, I say, because we do have some responsibility, but it only makes sense until you're the one who needs help. And then you realize what a load of garbage it is. Because if you take it seriously, God helps those who help themselves. It suggests that God isn't really doing much of anything to help anyone. Not unless you do it yourself. It would leave us entirely on our own. Just imagine that man at the pool of Bethesda who'd been an invalid for 38 years. And think about that, 38 years. And I moan and complain about the aches that I've had for a single week. But imagine how that man could have responded if he'd believed that stupid saying. When Jesus said, "Do you want to be healed?" he'd have said, "Well, yes, of course I want to be healed, but God helps those, so you really can't do much for me. I'll help myself first. I'm good. I've got this." And that guy would still be there today, still trying to help himself and still failing. Lord, have mercy. Or imagine if the sick man had when the sick man said, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and another one goes before me and gets there first." Imagine if Jesus had heard that and just shaken his head and said to him, "Well, that's really too bad, but God helps those." And had walked away. I mean, what help would that be? That's no better than an idol. An idol is as much help as that. An idol has a mouth but does not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. Think for a moment about how poisonous it is to believe that God helps those who help themselves. It would have left that lame man with nothing. Jesus would have simply walked away, and we would still be, well, where would we be? But in our sins and our despair, in our discouragement and in deep trouble. God did not come in the flesh to help those who help themselves. God came in the flesh to those who cannot help themselves. And as we think, especially today, about the confirmation of our four young women, I'm reminded that even as they make their vows and promises here before God's altar, that it does not rest simply on their shoulders. When they make their vows, we're not asking them to make promises to help themselves so that God maybe will help them at some point. They are confessing their faith, that they believe that God has and does and is and will help them because they need it, just as we do as well. Jesus didn't shrug his shoulders and walk away. Jesus isn't a mute and unseeing idol. His hands and his feet aren't worthless like stone and wood. He has flesh and blood like us. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as St. Peter once confessed and as we confess him still today. In him, we say, was life, and that life was the light of the world. Why did he come to us? Why did he take on our human flesh and enter our world? It was because he viewed the whole world as a Bethesda. He viewed the whole world as a house of mercy or a house of grace. He looked out and he saw the multitude of invalids in it, the blind and the lame and the paralyzed, and those who are sick with sin and bound for death. And he knew where to find the sick, those who need help but can't help themselves. In Jesus, God helps those, period. He helps those who are in need. He helps those who are broken and weak. He helps those who are going through uncertainties and troubles. In Jesus, God helps. Just start there. He helps those who need help. You know, think about that invalid of 38 years sitting by that pool of Bethesda. No idea how long he'd been sitting there, how long he'd been waiting for help. But he wasn't looking for Jesus. He didn't even cry out to Jesus. He didn't seem to know anything about Jesus, but Jesus knew about him. And Jesus set out to find him and to heal him and to share his life with him. Where do we look for help in our times of need? I mean, besides ourselves. Where do we go to find that support and that strength? For that man at the pool of Bethesda, he went there because he believed that pool had the power to heal and to strengthen him. We're told elsewhere that people would come to sit by those pools. They'd wait for the water to move because they believed that when the water was stirred up, an angel came down and brought healing properties to that water. And they believed that whoever stepped in first would be healed of whatever disease he had. I wonder if that lame man saw the water stirred, even made his way into the pool, only to find that he was second or third, or for whatever reason that he wasn't the one who was healed. And even when Jesus says, "Do you want to be healed?" the man focuses on the pool. He says, "Well, I'd love to be healed, but I've got no one to help me in." That's where he was looking in his need. Looking not to God in his mercy in Christ, but looking to that pool to provide the healing that he was seeking. Where do we look? Where do we seek out help? What is the perhaps largest and most growing section of collections at Borders or at our libraries? It's all the books about self-help. You know, because we believe that God helps those who help themselves, so we've got to help ourselves first, and if it's not that book, it'll be the next one or the next one, and we're always looking for the fix that we can make. But Jesus has come, not to write a self-help book, not to give us better instructions on how to live, but simply to grant us his healing. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And here's the key verse. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Where is it found? Grace to help in every time of need is found at the throne of grace, in the house of grace, from the man of grace, our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what he did to help you, to help us, to help that man who was an invalid. Our Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. How was that man healed? By his wounds, you have been healed. It is the wounds of Christ himself that bring the healing that we need. And the healing that man received that day was not a healing that came from himself, but it was a healing that came from Jesus, who would stretch out his arms, his feeling hands on the cross, who would move his feet to carry the cross to that place, who would bear the sins and sicknesses of the world in his own body. And so we find our healing from that throne of grace, from his cross, given to us in his holy and precious gifts, as Jesus with his wounds comes to us in holy baptism and in the holy communion and in his holy and precious word. And he says, be healed. I am here to help, and I am here to strengthen, and I am here to forgive, and I am here to grant life. What that invalid received there by the pool of Bethesda from Jesus was only the beginning. When Jesus does grant us a healing or a miracle in this life, that is not the end. That is only a small taste of what he has in store. For we believe that not only is Jesus able to help us with our physical ailments and our sins and sicknesses now, we believe that he will even raise our bodies from the dead. That's what St. John saw when he had his vision of the new heavens and the new earth. He saw a new world where the Lord God is the light in the city of God, and the Lamb is its lamp. He saw a city where there will be no weeping or crying or tears anymore, where there will be no sins or sicknesses or death anymore. He saw a city where we will walk in Christ forever. That is the healing that Jesus brings, starting now, but completed when he comes again in glory. And so we wait on him, and we trust in him, and we put our confidence in him. With King David, we say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We hear what Jesus himself said when he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is our help. He is our strength. He is our salvation. He is the one who is for us here and now. God helps, and he helps through his Son, Jesus Christ. He helps you, and he helps me. Not only today, but at every time and in every place, he is the helper who is ready and stands near. And so we cast our cares upon him, and we receive from Jesus what he has to give. Our Lord Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, speaking with his disciples, said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And then Jesus went to his cross, and he rose from the dead. And he comes here to you this day to grant the help that you need, to give you his promises, to strengthen you through your trials, to relieve you of the burden of thinking that it all depends on you, or you have to simply help yourself. He helps, and he is faithful, and he will be with you now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.